So today we are here at the Crypto Investor Summit with Jor Law. Jor Law is involved in a lot of different projects. One of them is T0. And T0 is a platform where, that I've basically known about since day one when Patrick announced it on my friend's radio show. And it really just kind of blew my mind of all the different things that are going on. So I'm wondering if you can give people maybe a little bit of background on kind of how you came into the space and maybe a little bit more about T0.
Yeah, definitely. I had a couple different businesses. One was a law firm, one was a trust company that I was on the board of, and another one was a credit investor verification service. And, you know, through kind of the in the blockchain movement, as they became regulated, all three of those services got moved into the blockchain space because of its clients. Now, Verify Investor was actually a vendor to T0 when T0 was doing its own security token offering. And I guess, you know, enough people had said good things about it. They came and talked to us and ultimately acquired us. Many months later, as they were looking to build out their primary issuance platform, because T0, as you know, is known more for its secondary trading business, right? But then when they decided that before there can be secondary, there has to be primary, and they wanted to get into the primary issuance business, they tapped me to help launch that business for them.
Now, and can you tell people a little bit more about maybe what like a security token even is? Because there's probably a lot of people, even people probably who are even here who are in this space who don't know what it is, let alone there's probably a lot of people listening to us who maybe don't know about crypto. And can you maybe tell us a little bit more about what a security token is?
Yeah, I think the trick is to kind of separate the words, actually. You know, I and a lot of other people kind of combine it. But the reality is that you look at what is a token, right? If you've created a token, and let's just assume that, you know, your audience knows what a token is, so let's focus more on the security part of it, right? If you created a token, you've just created a digital representation of something, right? And it's got certain rights and attributes to it, right? And that's the token, right? The trick is, when is a token a security token, or when is a token that's not a security token sold in a manner that makes it a securities offering, even though it's, you know, fundamentally not a security token, right? So an example would be something like, if I play this online video game with you, and the manufacturer creates gems for us to buy and trade with each other in order to sell to buy equipment, right? Like a sword or something like that, right? In general, most people don't think of that as a securities, right? So if they are selling those gems, no one goes down and says, you sold illegal securities offerings. On the other hand, if they took that exact same thing and they sold it, and when they sold it, buy gems, they could increase in value, and you might be able to resell gems for more money later, then now they've given people this idea that, oh, they're gonna make money off it. And if you cross off enough checks where it sounds like, feels like, smells like an investment, or like the idea that you're selling someone the idea that they're making an investment, then you've crossed into securities world. And in that case, you could have a token that's not a securities be a securities offering, right? Now, what is a security, right? In a nutshell, in most cases, you know, instead of kind of the technical legal jargon that most people give you, I like to just say, like, look, if it feels like someone's investing because they hope they're gonna get money, it probably is gonna be a security, right? And it's one of those things where you know it when you see it. Like, you know it feels like a security when something feels like it is, you know.
And you also have the head of the SEC, Jay Clayton, who came out, I think, earlier last year and said, every ICO I've seen is a security. And as things progressed with the mania, it got to the point where basically everybody was, you know, pumping, you know, this is, you know, going to 10x or this is going to moon, and created a really kind of scammy, kind of fraudster type environment. So how do security tokens kind of distinguish themselves from the ICO market, and how do you see security tokens being able to disrupt the traditional funding model?
When you do a proper securities offering, it's backed by, you know, decades old law modified recently, right? So the same system that exists to protect the vast American capital markets is the same system that will protect, like, security token offerings that are properly registered and or properly find an exemption from registration. So it's not so much that, you know, regulation by itself doesn't necessarily prevent fraud, but it can certainly help minimize fraud because of the ecosystem and enforcement that comes along with it. And when you have got someone like the SEC that is judiciously applying the laws to figure out, like, how do we regulate this space without killing this space? And I think they've done a pretty good job of that. I think you get this whole new world of STOs where, yeah, some of them will still be bad. Just like penny stocks, some of them are bad. You get companies like Enron, you get big failures in the real market. You're still going to get those in the security
token space. Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, you're still going to get failures in the security token space, but they're not going to be, you know, akin to the ICOs where you were getting mass fraud on a global scale.
Yeah, there's no way to protect yourself against everything, and if you try to, you know, eliminate every risk that's out there, you end up living in a prison if you want to make yourself as safe and secure as possible. And one of the things I was telling people about T0, and I'm hoping maybe you can either say, like, yeah, I'm going on the right track, or maybe all the presentations I gave, maybe I was wrong. But one of the things that really excites me about this industry, in the financial services space that I'm in particularly, is that right now when you buy a stock or buy an ETF or mutual fund, it usually takes 1 to 3 days to settle, which is, and they call that in the industry jargon, T+1, T+2, T+0, or 3. And with you guys, the name, or you're actually a consultant for T0, just to make sure we clarify that, it's called T0 because the transaction time is zero. And where I see things going is that in the future, you're not going to buy like the S&P 500. You're going to buy maybe maybe you'll hit a button that will buy all 500 tokens. Each of those tokens will represent those various companies within the S&P 500, and it will trade instantaneously. Obviously, assumes that the pricing gets down because, you know, in today's environment, at $5 a trade, it's $2,500 to do that. No one's going to do that unless you're Warren Buffett, and even he might not even do that. So, you know, if you're looking at something like, let's say, you know, there's several cryptos out there that might cost, you know, a thousandth of a penny to trade, or very small amounts to trade. And so if we can use that same technology, do you sort of think I'm like on the right track? I mean, and please tell me if I'm wrong, because I'd like to switch up my presentations if I have been, because I haven't heard anybody else really kind of talking about it from this angle. And where do you kind of see it disrupting the more traditional financial markets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, It didn't take crypto or tokenization to kind of have people allow people to buy shares in small baskets, right? There are other people that have tried to do it in the securities world today already, right? But I think, you know, two things you mentioned. One is cost and speed, right? The T+2 cycle that we're on now certainly wouldn't allow for instantaneous settlements like that. But through blockchain technology, the ability to facilitate instantaneous settlements is actually there, right? It's just a matter of whether the regulators allow it, whether people kind of embrace the processes to kind of do that. Like T0 is effectively, you know, trading and it's settling by the next day already, right? And next morning, it's all settled. They could, if they wanted to, become T-instant, which would be like the trade is a settlement. So that blockchain is one of those things that, you know, according to your kind of requirements, you would need it for instantaneous. The other thing is efficiency, right? If the blockchain can make things more efficient by cutting out maybe a few processes here and there, maybe a middleman here and there, if they could drop down the fees, then this idea of like I'm buying 500 random stocks, each of which has its own kind of cost, if we can drop those costs down sufficiently, then the act of buying that diversified basket might be, you know, not cost prohibitive anymore. Will we get there because of blockchain technology? Who knows, right? Certainly people have said that, oh, blockchain, price will be low, et cetera. You and I have seen that that's not always the case. Sometimes blockchain has been slower. Sometimes blockchain has been a lot more expensive, right?
Yeah, I mean, we saw, I think, even like a week or two ago when everything was starting to go back up, even Bitcoin got to be pretty prohibitively expensive. And even a lot of times when I give, like I had an Uber driver that I opened up an Edge wallet for him and was telling him how crypto worked. And I didn't want to use Bitcoin for it because I you know, sometimes it's a gamble of how long it's going to take or what the fee is going to be. And you want that first impression to be good and making sure it settles basically as quickly as possible. And I guess shifting gears a little bit, if somebody was interested in acquiring T0, and obviously we're not giving financial advice right now, but if someone's interested in acquiring T0, I know that the initial raise was accredited investors only. Are people who are non-accredited able to buy it's called like a safe token or a SAF, are they able to buy that on the secondary market right now, or do you have to be accredited to do that, or if, or like if I had a friend who had it, could I buy it from him, or how does the kind of like how does that current structure of T0 work right now?
So T0 is a technology company that has created secondary trading software, essentially technology that other ATS or other platforms, other exchanges can essentially license to use to operate a trading platform. T0 also has a subsidiary called Pro Securities, which operates the ATS, and the T0 token is one of the tokens that trades on the ATS.
So do you have to be accredited to be on the ATS? I think I was looking at before, was it something called like Dinosaur? So this is such disruptive technology that our camera that has never happened before just happened to lose the Wi-Fi connection. But we're here with, there's actually a hackathon going on right next to us. So who knows with all the different things going on. But I think the question that we left off on was, if someone were to try to get into T0 right now, past the time of the initial sale, and you're mentioning that there was certain regulation exemptions that enabled you to raise the money that you guys were able to raise, or T0 was able to raise. But is there a certain period where like the average Joe can get into it once you're maybe beyond like a year period, or if they want to buy it from a friend, or how would that work?
Yeah, let me give some background into like what T0 is or isn't, right? So you've got T0, the technology company, and they create technology, including issuance technology, secondary trading technology, right? One of T0's subsidiaries is called Pro Securities, and they actually operate the ATS of which T0 tokens are trading on. Now, T0 tokens were issued under an exemption to the securities laws, which meant that when you bought it, you bought restricted securities. So to trade restricted securities, you need an exemption to kind of open that up, right? So T0 is trading under certain exemptions now. So if someone wanted to trade T0 tokens, they would effectively go to the Pro Securities ATS, through Dinosaur, the broker-dealer that's kind of accesses the ATS to buy, sell, trade those tokens. So it's very similar to you accessing NASDAQ through like E-Trade, right? So Dinosaur would be equivalent to E-Trade, and NASDAQ would be equivalent to the secondary trading platform.
Well, thank you. That definitely I think helps clarify, at least for me. But would that system be open to non-accredited investors, the Dinosaur platform, or is right now that's strictly accredited, and maybe someday in the future that non-accredited people can get in? Because I do know in the beginning there was a big knock on T0 that is only accredited investors, and a lot of people don't understand how the world of securities work and how the world of everyone wanted to be an ICO cowboy last year. And so I do applaud Patrick on trying to be, being so far ahead of the game on this stuff. I mean, he was so far out there on this stuff, it wasn't even funny. And then now, you see, I'm sure there's got to be people like Goldman and Morgan Stanley and other big brokerages that are probably trying to play catch up because they see how their business model can be greatly disrupted. And I probably threw like 20 different questions at you right there. But, is this something where like the common person could get into it, or...
Yeah, it depends on each token, how each token was sold, and what restrictions are on that token. From the ATS perspective, they'll support all of it, right? It's a matter of time. So if you kind of have followed the T0 news, then you know that right now trading is between accredited investors only, and then after a couple more months, non-accredited investors will also be able to trade it. I don't know, this T0 conducted this sale kind of before I was involved with them, but Patrick, the team there, they're amazing. They're not just visionaries. They understand capital markets. They love capital markets. They love pushing it and trying to make it better and using technology to make the space a little bit better, to disrupt the space, not to destroy the space, but to make it better. And I think if they had their choice, they probably would have opened it up to non-accredited investors. So, but whoever knows, right? But clearly, Patrick has been kind of a visionary in this. Sometimes it's not the company that doesn't allow people to invest. It's oftentimes it's the rules. It's the law.
Knowing Patrick, he would definitely want. I mean, not that I'm friends with him or anything, but just reading about him and hearing his interviews, I know that he probably would want to open this up to the space. And we definitely do appreciate, I know you're a very high in demand guy here. We got tons of stuff that I'm sure people pulling in different directions, but we definitely appreciate all of your time today. I'd love to have you back in the future, hear more about different projects you're working on. And thank you very much. It's Jor Law. Right. And you guys, can they find you on either Twitter or LinkedIn? Or what's the best place for people to try to learn more about you and follow you in different projects you're working on?
So if you're interested in T0, obviously go visit the T0.com website. If you're trying to get a hold of me, Twitter, Jor L. Law, or LinkedIn, Jor Law, the guy doing like the flying kick on LinkedIn, that's me. If you want to email me directly, contact Jor at prettygooddomain.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time today, and love to. And we will definitely be keeping track of the T0 projects. Thank you.
Great.
Why would anybody want to buy Bitcoin inside their IRA? I mean, the whole point of Bitcoin was to have peer-to-peer electronic cash. So why are you going to have a financial intermediary buy Bitcoin for you? Why don't you just cash out your 401k, cash out your IRA, cash out your retirement plan, and just buy Bitcoin on your own? Well, the reason for that is if somebody had January 1st, 2017, invested $100,000 into Bitcoin, and then 1 year later, they would have had, after taxes and the 10% penalty, they would have just under $900,000. So you would have turned $100,000 into close to $900,000. So you're obviously doing something right. However, there is a better way that they could have done it. What they could have done is they could have done a Roth conversion. With a Roth conversion, you save the 10% penalty. So you've got 10% more that could be invested into crypto. And the beauty of this is that now all of your gains are now forever tax-free. So you put the $100,000 in, and now, and again, you're getting out of paying the 10% penalty. And now, after even all my management fees, you now have a little over $1 million. We have all the exact specific numbers linked down or should be on the screen right now. I don't have it memorized. But, you know, to me, you know, $1 million sounds a little bit better than $900,000. And having tax-free gains forever sounds better than having $900,000 that now any appreciation or hopeful potential appreciation would then be subject to tax. And the other reason why we thought of this, or really the genesis of this, is I had heard a lot of people doing this, and I thought that, hey, there's got to be a better way. But the main reason is you've got a lot of people who the only money they have to invest is inside of their retirement accounts. A lot of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, even people who have $1 million IRAs, a lot of them don't have actual extra money to invest. They don't have rainy day funds. And the rainy day funds should be kept in actual safe, liquid, you know, basically cash or really short-term treasury bills. It shouldn't be invested into Bitcoin. And so a lot of people just don't have that extra money to invest. And so taking a small percentage of your IRA or 401k and then, you know, putting it into Bitcoin, if you know what you're doing and you understand the risk and you actually believe in this philosophically, is actually, I think, you know, a good move to make. So again, if you're going to pull money out of your 401k to buy Bitcoin, you should talk to myself, because I think that the Roth IRA conversion is a much better way of doing things. And that is why somebody would want to consider having Bitcoin inside their IRA as opposed to cashing out their 401k and just buying it outright.
Okay, well, that's great. You've got people who have IRAs and 401ks, and you know, there's different things you can do or that I can do to help them out. But what about the person that has maybe a few million dollars of gains and they bought it on Coinbase or Kraken, or they got several millions of dollars of gains and all of a sudden now you want to go buy your Lambo or buy a new house? I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to skirt around the IRS, because they're going to wonder, you know, hey, how'd you get that $500,000 to buy a new house? Well, for those people, probably the best person to explain this is actually my friend Ernest Hancock, as he was giving me an introduction at Anarchapoco. Anyways, I'll let Ernie take it away, because we can also have advanced trust strategies for the people that have millions of dollars of gains. This is not just for people who are looking to invest parts of their IRAs or 401ks.
A good friend of mine, Tim Pachote, he's a financial advisor at Scottsdale. He'll be speaking at the TDV event. You'd be able to bring the crypto into the system. How would you be able to do a foundation, a trust, a this, a that, and so on? And Tim was at the party, and I go, Tim, what up? He's been spending months that he's getting ready to present to you guys Monday on how you can take your crypto and not pay capital gains on it, not have taxes on you. I'm going, man, you need to talk to Tim.